Good morning. We are glad you're here. The Lord's pleased whenever we do what the Bible says. We assemble together in one place to praise God, worship Him as He has taught us in His Word, singing psalms, hymns, and praises to His name, teaching and admonishing one another. I thank Brother Nick for leading our singing, and Brother Tom earlier at our Bible class, he mentioned our Wednesday evening study of the book of John. I would encourage you to come to that. We are in the place in the book of John, finishing chapter 12, and then we have, we finish that. We are actually finishing chapter 13, and chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are not found in the other books of the New Testament. So there's some wonderful material there. And then chapter 18, we begin with his great trials. And then we have chapter 19, and there he is before Pilate and crucified. And chapter 20 is resurrection. And 21, some events after the resurrection. So I would encourage you to come. The reason we have that class is because we sing the song, More About Jesus. I think we ought to hear more about Jesus. So thank you for being here this morning. And do want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I remember one time, it was about 1977, if I remember correctly, I had a sermon. I don't think it was directed toward the mothers, and it was all on my mind. I just got up and preached, and afterwards I remember one brother that was really rather critical of everything came up and said, "You didn't even mention Mother's Day. Some of you have preached before. You realize that that's on your mind." But ever since then, I have remembered. We're glad to have that. We're glad to have that. And of course, as already been said, if your mother is still alive, you need to see her all that you can. If she lives far away, go see your mother. Don't hesitate to do that. I remember Brother Malcolm always encouraging me. My mother was in Ohio and later on with my sister in Florida. And he always encouraged me, go see your mother. And he was right. Now she's left from this world. So see your mother and do all that you can for her today and on every day. But it is a good day. I notice depending on the calendar that you have, I notice that most calendars have certain days designated, don't they? They've got certain days designated, and we have been blessed in our country to have some excellent holidays or days that mean a lot to us, but Mother's Day is certainly one of them. So I was thinking about what to preach today. I wanted to preach on something related to mothers, and decided we would be studying about one of the most wonderful mothers ever, and that would be Hannah, the mother of Samuel. And we read about this in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I think Brother Chuck, in a few moments, I will ask, after an introduction, we'll ask him to put up a scripture. And when he does that, I'll read, and I want you to read the scripture along with me. I've entitled the sermon, Lessons Learned from the Life of Hannah. The reason I've entitled it that way, because I have a series of lessons from her whole life, especially from these first two chapters. But we could also name the lesson, and I thought about putting that title on it, The Prayers of a Good Mother. You've been blessed if you have a mother that believes in God, serves God, a godly mother, especially a Christian. You've been very, very blessed. So many people do not have that. My mother was acquainted with the church. Past family members were members. She really had never obeyed the gospel, but she taught us how to pray. And we did go to worship. It was a different place, but we did go to worship. But she taught us to bow down our knees and fold our hands, and we were little children, and to say the prayer. I know I memorized it, so she had to do it with us over and over and over and over. The prayers of a mother are very important. In my judgment, they go on. I don't believe they end. I would say every mother here that has children is praying for those children. I would say that probably most every mother that is here has always prayed for her children. And in my judgment, as I mentioned, I believe that the prayers are still being heard. You don't think your mother prayed that God would bless you after she left? You don't think she didn't pray for the grandchildren? I believe a good mother would do that. And I believe enough in God to believe that that prayer can carry on. And God can hear that prayer even after the mother has gone away. So we have actually two prayers we want to mention. I wish I could preach both of them. If y'all wanted to stay here at 12 o'clock and have the second one, you know, if it's unanimous, I will stay. It's okay with me. But because of the time, we want to consider the first prayer, which is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and then consider the second prayer, which is found in 1 Samuel chapter 2. So I would invite you to try to return tonight. Maybe your mother's not here. Maybe you could bring your mother. It would be an honor to meet her. It's a privilege, opportunity, and a blessing to be able to study about someone like Hannah, one of the great children of God in the Old Testament. Her name means grace or favor. Isn't that something? Her very name means favor or grace. I can't help but think about Noah. It says of Noah in Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Very wicked world. And I know our world is wicked. The Bible teaches in 1 John that the whole world lieth in wickedness. I believe that's chapter 5 and 19. Y'all search that up. I've noticed sometimes I miss one. You just go read and read all 1 John. But I think that's where it is. He says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. But you know, however bad it seems, and turning on a television set, in my judgment, it doesn't shine a light to the days of Noah. You see, God will only stand so much. That has not changed. God's long-suffering has a line. We've not gotten to that point, and it was full of violence. We have a lot of violence in this country. So we have been blessed by God's grace, those that are children of God. We cannot be saved without grace. Could you come up with a plan of salvation? We've mentioned Jesus and His precious and innocent blood shed on the cross of Calvary. Shed before on His way to Calvary. His scourging. Every drop of blood is precious. Even His scourging, the Bible teaches, with His stripes we are healed. So in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So he says, you are saved by grace, but you are not saved by grace alone. If we're saved by grace alone, everybody would be saved, because God has shed forth His grace toward all men, which means that all men have opportunity. We have an opportunity this morning, if you're not a Christian, to be saved by God's grace. And he says, through faith. So you have to have enough faith in God to come to Jesus, to believe Him. You count the cost, decide you want to become a Christian. You want to become a child of God, born again, like we read in John chapter 3. Born of water and of the Spirit. Who doesn't stand the water to be baptized into Christ? Born of the Spirit, of the teachings of the Spirit. The Bible teaches that even when we're singing, and that we're filled with the Spirit as we read the New Testament. So if you're not a Christian, I hope you'll have faith. I notice I've got a commentary by a denominational writer, and he doesn't believe what I understand New Testament to teach. I notice time and time again that he refers to Mark 16 and 16 on the subject of faith. Now, this is talking about writings between about 1830 and 1850. But he didn't say much about the baptism and the importance of it. But the Lord put them together. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16 and 16. So we are thankful for God's grace. And we would say that a first lesson on the life of Hannah was that it was written for our learning. God has a foreknowledge. God plans. God doesn't do anything that's not planned. God knows what's going on everywhere, all the time, no matter what. And in Romans 15:4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So we have the writing. Can I emphasize that too much? We have the writing. And he says, number one, it's for our learning. Sometimes I believe people come to the conclusion that I'm out of high school or whatever. I don't need to learn anymore. You know, I went to college or some kind of technical school. I don't need to learn anymore. And sometimes members of church get sort of like that. I don't need to learn anymore. We need to always learn. Now he says it's for our learning that we through patience. Do you need patience? You can learn about it in the Word of God, both the Old and New Testaments. Yes, you're going to have trials, and yes, you're going to have to learn patience, but this is written to teach us to have patience. You see, if you read all of chapter 1, which I will not be able to read this morning, you'll find out that year after year after year, we're not told how many, we're told that this wonderful woman, Hannah, would come with her husband, Elkanah, and they would come to worship God at Shiloh, where the tabernacle was. And they would offer sacrifices, some of those they could eat of. And this man, Elkanah, had two wives. That came up this morning in the Bible class. There was a time that God tolerated that. It was never his design, according to Matthew chapter 19. But he tolerated it under the Old Testament. And this man had another wife, and her name was Peninnah, and she had children. And you'd think she would kind of feel bad about Hannah not having any children, but she didn't. She caused Hannah to worry and to fret and trouble her. There's no doubt if she's causing this that she's mocking her. It's so sad that people could be that mean, correct? But she was that way. And year after year after year, and then we find that she didn't like going to worship. It was hard. It was difficult. And when we study about that, we come to this conclusion, and that is, you look at the life of Hannah, and you see and you learn that people have always had to deal with difficult circumstances. I don't know what your circumstances are today, everybody. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how much all of us know about the sick, because Brother Richard keeps us in contact. Other times, the members themselves keep us in contact. I know we have a lot of sick people here. I know that. A lot of people that don't have good health are here this morning. Some would be here if they could be here. Maybe your circumstances are very, 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 very difficult at this time. There are all kinds of difficulty. It could be financial. It could be your health. It could be, we've mentioned all these illnesses that people have, things that transpire, loss of loved ones. Maybe it's on the job. But whatever circumstance it is, it's always been going on. We live in a world that's sin cursed, and it's just going to go on. There's a better world to come. And I like to read that in the New Testament. When it says the world to come, that's talking about the heavenly world. So Hannah was troubled. She was barren, couldn't have any children. And the Jews at this time and always were really, really were honored to have children, wanted to have children very strongly. Isn't it a shame that we have people that have... It's up to you to have children, not to have children. If God allows you, But I think it's horrible that we have so many killing children. It's very easy to establish in the New Testament and Old Testament in God's Word, very easy to establish that it's a child inside that womb. So she was, Hannah was barren, and the Bible teaches that the Lord had shut up her womb. You say, well, why did he do that? Well, he didn't tell us, but we see what the outcome was, that she prayed about it, and she was able to have a child. And lest I forget, not only did she have to begin with Samuel, because she promised Samuel to the Lord, but she had 5 other children. She had 3 boys and 2 girls, other than Samuel. So she had 6 children. Her husband thought he was so good, so I guess we need to count him as 1, okay? Because he does talk about the woman barren having 7 children. Isn't that something? So it troubled her, but when she came yearly to the worship, instead of a joyful occasion, she was so troubled that she wept and could not eat. You probably have been like that at times. You may have been like that this morning or last night, for all I know. But you have a lot of trouble when you're weeping. You have a lot of trouble. I had someone call me this week, said they had never shed blood like they had, tears like they had, and weeping for a long, long time. So it's very serious, and not to eat. Now, that is difficult. She just was so sad and so burdened. But when we come to worship, shouldn't it be a time of joy and a precious time? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, Psalm 22 and verse 1. David loved to go to worship. He was glad. We ought to be glad. We sing these songs and hymns and spiritual songs. They cause joy to our heart. God wants us to understand that difficult and troubling circumstances will come to all of God's children. Think about it. If God's children did not suffer, then people would want to become children of God because they would never have to suffer. But the very nature of the world being cast out of the Garden of Eden tells us that we're going to have to die in whatever ways there are, which accidents, cancers, all kinds of diseases, age. Job said it right a long time ago in Job 14, verses 1 and 2. Very common in funerals. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. So he says a few days and full of trouble. In Psalm 34 and 19, David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. God is with us. Maybe there's a time that you feel like God is not with you. Asaph was that way. You mentioned Asaph this morning in the Old Testament, one of the writers of some of the Psalms. Asaph was that way in Psalm 73, and we could get that way and wondering about why wicked people prosper. But our world is going to be especially the world to come. But we have joys in this world. Being a mother is a joy. It's difficult bringing it in. We have many, many joys in this world, but being a Christian is the most wonderful thing. So I'm going to ask Brother Chuck to put up a scripture now and ask you to read along with me. I've got to say this. Don't you like those big letters? I've had people tell me they couldn't see back there. You back there in that back row, can you see me? Yeah, I got nods back there. Brother Chuck does a wonderful job, and he always does a wonderful job on the computer, and I appreciate him doing this for us. We will begin reading with verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. Now it's called the temple of the Lord. We're not told why, but all the heathen had temples, and the children of Israel had the tabernacle. And they called it as well as the temple of the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. And if you read the whole Bible, you see that God is influenced by a vow. That means a lot to God. I never made a vow but one, because you have to make sure you keep that vow. It's got something, you make a vow to God, you keep that vow. It's a very serious thing, but that's influence with God, as I understand it. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child. In the book of Job, it links conception with a man-child. At conception, you have a man-child, you have a baby. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now that would mean that he would be a Nazarite. I would encourage you later to read Numbers chapter 6 and read about the Nazarite vow. It is really something. Really something. They could not partake of anything related to the fruit of the vine. Maybe you've read this. It doesn't use the word raisin, but they couldn't even eat raisins, okay? It's called the dried grapes. That's raisins. They couldn't eat them. And not only that, but the hair wasn't cut. And you could be a Nazarite, make a vow for a certain period of time. It didn't have to be all your life. Samson was a Nazarite. But you could make a vow for a certain period of time, and you had to do what God said there in Numbers chapter 6. If your father died, your mother died, your brother died, or your sister died, you weren't allowed to go in their presence because that was unclean. And they knew that, but nevertheless, you had Nazarites. So she was going to devote him to the Lord, and a razor would never come upon his head. It came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Well, we all know that God reads our mind. We don't have to say something audibly for God to hear us. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, wickedness, like the devil. The devil's called that in the New Testament. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now we ask the question, why did she go away and now she could eat and her countenance was not sad? Because she had faith. She had faith. Eli's a high priest. Prophetical statements as well. She had faith in God. So we need to have faith in God. We say our prayers and we put it in God's hand, and it's always God's will. So we learn from the life of Hannah, as we've mentioned, that you have troubling circumstances. How do you deal with that? I know that we have people out there have troubling circumstances, and this is not just the older people. This is old and young as well. I know some of our younger people have, when I say younger, I don't know what you're thinking, but anything 40 and less is younger to some of us, okay? You got younger people, and some of you very young have had great difficulties. So it could not just have to be older to have difficulties. The thing to do when we're in trying circumstances is to pray about it and to ask God for help. In James 1, 16 and 17, he says, Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't vary. He's the same today, yesterday, every day, and tomorrow. He's eternal. The shadow changes all day long, but God doesn't change. He's the Father of lights. It's also called in Hebrews chapter 12, the Father of spirits. It's where you got your spirit. God formed it inside of you. Where does spirit come from? That's why you have life. James 2 and 26. So, God is a great giver of gifts. He is a God of all comfort, and He is the Almighty God. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. We always pray for people that lose loved ones. Why do we do that? God is the God of all comfort. And He tells us that we have His great comfort in His words. Wherefore comfort one another with the words. We have the words of God. We ought to comfort one another. We said that He is the Almighty God. Genesis 17 and 1. 99 years old. We have anybody here 99? Anybody here look like you're 99? No, y'all look a lot younger than that. I see one back there, but he doesn't look 99. God said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. He's talking to Abram. His name was later changed to Abraham. Why did he say that? Perfect. You be perfect, Abram. And it meant you serve me with all your heart and love me with all your heart. You be complete. Give yourself to me. And if anybody did that, it was Abraham. So Hannah not only prayed to God, but we mentioned she made a vow, God blessed her. And in asking for a blessing, she honored God. And the Bible says, the terminology in the King James is that she lent him unto the Lord. She gave him to the Lord. And when he was very young, after he was weaned, I can't tell you exactly, but he was old enough, if you read the context, to worship God. So after he was weaned, she took him to the tabernacle, and there he's going to be serving God, become not only a priest of the tribe of Levi, but a great prophet of God, a great man of God. But I have this question that I put in this lesson. How many mothers are willing to give their sons to God? Maybe it's just me, but I believe that sometimes a mother, the last thing that some mothers would want would be for her son to be a preacher. And I will admit that it is a very difficult road if you teach the truth. But I would encourage you mothers that if the day ever comes that your children decide, maybe your son or sons decide to preach the gospel, encourage them to do that and be honored that they're preaching the gospel of Christ. And yes, it can be a very difficult life. And there's so many other things, you know, that there are preachers that could be doctors. There are preachers that wouldn't have trouble with very difficult jobs in the area of science. When I did some construction work, because I had to do it in between preaching, and sometimes while I was preaching, I know that I worked with people in my judgment. They could have been whatever they wanted to be. I could see they had the intelligence and the abilities, but there they were on the construction site, which don't ever look down on that. It takes a lot of judgment, knowledge, and wisdom to do that correctly. So I would encourage you, mothers, don't be ashamed and don't be afraid if your son decides he wants to preach. We learn from the life of Hannah that when you pour out your heart to God in prayer, God is able to help us in the most difficult circumstances. Do you agree with that? Huh? Oh, sometimes people say, and the doctors will say, you know, they're going to pull out of it. Maybe they won't. I've said many times in this pulpit, they said that about my dad. Called the family in. Not going to make it through the night. 20 years later, he's still walking around all over everywhere. It's in God's hand. God gives life and God takes away life. We offer the prayers and it's in God's hand. Very often the doctors will say that. The doctors will say, we can't do anything else. But we pray, and other difficult circumstances, and whatever they are, you may think that there's no way that God could answer that prayer, but then you pray it and let God decide what He wants to do. That's a good policy in my judgment. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know that's a very true statement. You'd know it if you weren't, if you believe what the Bible says, but very present trouble. When you need God, God is right there. Now, I'm not saying that you won't have trouble for a while, because we see that Hannah came year after year and was vexed. You may be sick. You may be sick the rest of your life. We've got some here. I'm not going to call out the names. Not having been sick the last week or two, but for years. Those of us that haven't had to do that, we need to thank God. We need to thank God for our blessings. In Psalm 55:22, David also said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Sometimes people have this attitude. They may not say it, but I'm certain you've heard it. Maybe you've said it. I've done everything I could. I'm just going to have to take it to God in prayer. I recommend you take it to God in prayer to begin with. You have to go through suffering and suffering, doing this and that. Take it to God immediately in prayer. And continuing to pray, like Colossians 4:2. You don't quit praying, you continue. God wants us to continue to pray. I notice that this is my judgment, but it's based on the Bible, that God will take people all the way up to a very critical point sometimes before He actually does something. You think about in the Old Testament, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you remember? They're down there, and He's going to throw them in a burning, fiery furnace. As far as they knew, He's going to throw them in there. They said, we're not going to do that. If God wants to deliver us, He will. They didn't have any promise to be delivered from a fiery furnace. But they said, if God wants to, He can do it. That's faith. Marshall Keeble, and they were thrown in the fire, and when they came out, they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them, huh? You'd think it'd be the smell of smoke, right? So God may take us up. He took the children of Israel right up to the Red Sea. There's no escape. Well, Pharaoh figures out, I've got them now. Oh, I've got them now. He takes all of his chariots and his soldiers and his cavalry, and he goes there and he rushes over there. I've got them now. No, you don't have them. God can split the sea open and walk through on dry ground. You think Pharaoh was expecting that? I guarantee you, the children of Israel were not expecting that. But God split the Red Sea. In 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, His ears are open unto their prayers. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That's a wonderful blessing. I would not trade that for anything, would you? To God to hear your prayer? I'd hate to think, what would it be like if I'm in a position, maybe I'm in a bad accident and blood's coming out kind of profusely? I've seen accidents like that. It'd frighten you. It would frighten me anyway. I wouldn't hesitate to pray. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So here is a wonderful, wonderful mother. She had some difficult times, but she prayed, she made a vow, and she prayed, and God answered that prayer. No telling how many prayers the mothers that are here have prayed and have seen those prayers answered, especially with their children and grandchildren. If you're not a child of God, we encourage you. We've mentioned God's grace. We've mentioned the blood. You can't be saved without the blood of Christ. I think we're getting ready to sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You think about that. We've already mentioned faith. mentioned baptism. Acts 17:30-31, repentance. Romans 10:9-10, willing to confess. If you're not a Christian, just do what God said, do. Don't do what the world tells you to do. Do what God said to do. If you need prayers, you come and we'll pray with you and for you. If you've fallen away, as we together we stand and sing.